You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Whakahoa Kaitua Whanaketanga Pack and Save Artist Fellowship has recently presented the work 4 Feet in the Dark by Tash Van Schadenberg and Ari Curtins. 4 Feet in the Dark considers the ableist architectures of everyday life alongside the soulful empowerment of embracing the disabled experience. In the show, a 20-speaker surround sound sonic journey takes you through the breadth of human emotions with the lens of blindness. To hear more about the work, I caught up with artist Ari Curtins. Here we are now. Why don't you start off by telling me about 4 Feet in the Dark? Where does the project come from?
4 Feet in the Dark came about just from an idea that my friend Tash and I had a few years ago. We were in a band together called Unisex Fuck Club. And Tash was living next door to this abandoned church, and we sort of had this idea of, wouldn't it be cool to like record the sounds of the cane, of my cane that I use because I'm blind? I should contextualize that. Wouldn't it be cool to record the sounds of the cane walking around the room with like a directional microphone, a field recorder, and create a drone, a spinning drone that from the noises of the cane. So just the one low kind of tone. And it was just like, oh yeah, that would just be a fun thing to do. And then I found out that Arts Access Aotearoa, who are this fabulous organization doing wonderful things in the world of disability and the arts, had begun accepting applications for their first ever artist fellowships. And I called Taj maybe a month or two after we had this initial idea. And I was like, hey, you remember that thing? Do you want to make a show out of it? And so that's sort of how it was born.
Do you want to tell me about how that translated into the work that's now on display or open to be listened to, about the process of making the work through the field recordings?
Yeah, absolutely. So We applied for this fellowship, and I had some ideas, Tash had some ideas about what we wanted to create, and obviously it was going to be more than just like one sound, so we built a bit of a narrative around it and you know, put some meaning into it, which was actually quite deep and hopefully confronting, but I'll talk about that later, I guess. Essentially how it all came about was we found out we won the fellowship, which was like mind-blowing, and then I think it was about a year ago, yeah, it was, I think, late January, early February, Tash went out and found this really nice field recorder that's quite easy for me to use, being blind. It just sort of had a really simple layout, and it was quite easy to memorize. And we went out on some field recording expeditions together. I think our first one was, it might have been a Big Gay Out, which was quite cool. And so we went out on these field recordings, and Tash sort of showed me how to take the field recordings, and I started getting better at it, and then just became, you know, that weird sound artist that like never leaves home without his field recorder in his bag. And so I'm always like, you know, scanning my surroundings for like groovy noises that I think would be cool for this fellowship and for this project. And yeah, sort of around July, I think it was last year, we went on a bit of an artist retreat for a week at a holiday house that belongs to some friends of mine. Down near Ohakune, and we sort of had like quite an intensive week of really compiling and starting to arrange these recordings into something, and since then we've sort of been, I've taken a few extra recordings now and then, but we've been working on digitally altering them and basically using the sounds of me exploring the environment as a blind person and the sounds of my cane in these environments, I guess sort of exploring the sonic relationship between the blind body and the environment and the impact that ableism has. And as we say in our artist text, the ableist architectures of everyday life have on my experience of the world.
Do you want to expand on that a little bit, the ableist architectures of everyday life? How does the work translate that through sound?
Yeah, absolutely. It's quite an intellectual topic, but I suppose, you know, one in four people are disabled, and pretty much everybody is going to be disabled at some point in their life. And despite that, it's kind of Becky, a friend of mine who was one of our panelists, said that they really liked the idea that the disability sort of demographic were one of the biggest, but they were also the only one taking applications, because it's kind of like everyone is going to sort of end up there at some point. As we age, we become disabled, and, you know, people have accidents and become disabled. Disability can be temporary, disability can be permanent, but when you live a disabled life, you know, there are barriers to accessing the world around you that other people just don't even perceive or think of. And I guess one of the overarching goals of this project and kind of my life in general is to sort of get more people thinking about those and designing things so that they are, you know, inclusive, basically. And when we were doing this project, we were thinking a lot about how, when you put a non-visual person like myself into a visual space and expect them to navigate through cues that are primarily visual, it's really stressful and fatiguing, collectively striguing, and anxiety-inducing, and, you know, there's a lot of cortisol involved, or at least there can be, especially in unfamiliar environments. And so we sort of wanted to subvert that and flip it around on its head and create a non-visual environment where visual people experience at least a sense of that same rush of cortisol and anxiety and stress. And we wanted to do it in a way that's quite confrontational and creates a bit of sensory dysphoria, which is a term that my mum coined and I love.
Your artist text also talks about the work reflecting the empowerment of embracing the disabled experience. Mm. Do you want to speak to that a little bit?
Yeah. So, you know, despite all these access barriers and stuff, I think there's a lot of really powerful self-actualization that someone like myself, who's become, rather than kind of a, you know, I'm proud of my disability now. I really, another one of our panelists, Caitlin Smith, she's like, I sometimes call her my spiritual matriarch of blind pride, because that's sort of a movement that she wants to create in the world, and I'm definitely on that bandwagon. And so I write for a magazine called The D-List, which is a disability culture magazine, and it's full of these amazing creative people who take pride in their disabled identity. And we really wanted to showcase that as well. Like, I don't think a lot of people's perception of disability can be really a bit of a pity party, and that is so far removed from the truth. There's some real bossed up people in the disability realm, and it's just when you face systemic access barriers that are all-encompassing, it makes it so much harder to advocate for yourself and what you need. It takes so much more work, and that's why we still don't have accessibility legislation. And the accessibility legislation that is, there's a bill that's kind of, I think it's been a bit paused at the moment, and the bill has no teeth, to be quite honest. And, you know, there are all these barriers that we have to go through because the non-disabled powers that be are sort of gatekeeping, and that is changing. And there's this swell coming up of beautiful, beautiful, beautiful young people and older people as well who are just, but man, the older people are pretty tired because they've been fighting this battle for a long time. but there's this beautiful swell of disability. There's this beautiful swell of disability culture that's coming out, and it's really empowered. And I guess we wanted to showcase that. We wanted to touch on themes of things like disability and sexuality, and queerness and that kind of aspect of pride. And I remember reading an article once while I was doing some research, and this it was an American author, I forget her name, but she posed the question of, why does the thought of somebody who uses a wheelchair having a fulfilling sex life make you feel uncomfortable? And I sort of thought about it, and I was like, wow, there's some real internalized ableism there, because obviously, like, intellectually, I'm like, hell yeah. But there was still something in my reptilian brain that almost went, ooh. And that was actually quite a moment of, yeah, you know, we're really conditioned to preserve the status quo and to favor those around us who resemble us. And so often disabled people just kind of become othered. And I guess, yeah, we're trying to sort of switch that around. There's this other theme. I don't want to speak on Tasha's behalf too much, but there's this other theme, because the noise in parts that we've created can be quite overwhelming. So there's this element of sensory dysphoria, but there's also, Tash talks a lot about the concept of noise and unwanted sounds that are often viewed as ugly or undesirable, and sort of creating noises that may be seen as beautiful or you know, desirable through those. And
where can people go to experience the work and attempt to sort of dismantle this inherent ableism?
Yeah, so unfortunately, we just had our closing show last night at the Western Springs Garden Community Hall, which is a great venue because it's octagonal and it just sonically works really well and looks quite cool with a concentric rings of octagonal lights from the ceiling and random neon green chairs scattered everywhere in a blacked out room. But we have made the work now, and we're really keen to exhibit it in other places as well. So if anybody listening has any suggestions or ideas for a multi-speaker setup where you can put some speakers on the roof, put some speakers on the floor, put some speakers on the walls, get a bunch of people, put them inside a room and turn the lights off, they can get in touch with us. Tasha's Instagram is Citacsy, Citacsy, and mine is ari.co.nz, Ari spelled A-R-I.
That was Ari, A-R-I, Kirsten, speaking with me about their recent show, 4 Feet in the Dark.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.